always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Yeah, I mean, so when I look back at the last, like, best Laker teams, right, and it's the 2023 run, and then it's the 2020 run, and the 2021 especially, it gets looked at as this roster that just was completely created overnight, but that's just not the case. You go down, and most of those guys, aside from AD, a lot of them that were important were there already, like KCP was there, Caruso was there, Kuz was already there, Kyle Kuzma was already there, JaVale was already there, Rondo was already there. So not that that team was good the year before, but there was some things that were set before the team eventually became the title team that they did. And then in 2023, obviously, they re-signed everybody after that conference finals run. So I do think there's an understanding of continuity. Now, I think the contrast issue of this summer is that a lot of eggs were put in the basket of this summer. A lot of things were kind of kicked. The can was kicked here. And it was like, all right, the can is over there. I know we're 2 years away, but I can see the can. Like, it's standing right over there. And so we've kicked it to that spot. And so those two concepts are a little bit, they kind of go against each other. But I think the correct thing to do, and I think this is part of new ownership, right, that is obviously setting down foundations. Like, they are setting things in place that they want to last. These aren't quick fix, quick hit type of stuff, right? They are putting in whole new departments of places. These aren't just people, one, two people coming in. Full departments are being added to the Lakers facilities and things like that. So I think they understand this is a long-term play, and Luka Doncic obviously will be right in the middle of all this. I think he's going to have some decisions where he's going to be able to decide some things and get input in. But yeah, I think Rob understands that. Now, what the actual play is this summer, that's where I'm fascinated. Someone in chat brought up Giannis. To me, that would be the mistaken path. Now, I know that's also some people like that path of just go get the big star. I don't know, when I'm watching all these teams play, like, your sixth guy shouldn't be, oh shoot, emergency. And like, for us, like, and I think he could be a good player one day, but Bronny, like, was next in line after one or two injuries. It's Bronny in the rotation. It's like, man, this roster just not deep enough. And nothing against him or Nick Smith Jr. or all these guys who filled in as well as they could. So that's kind of the route that I'm going. And I think it'd be a mistake to just cut out everything. The Lakers won 54 games this year, and that doesn't mean the regular season is everything. But I do think there's stuff you can take and build from and hopefully use into the summer. But I'm interested what he sees. I think he understands culture and understands it's important. But yeah, the offseason has so many routes, only so many routes you can go.
The depth thing is interesting though, Raj, because like, I agree that you can't get to the postseason and then get to like your, you know, third guard and be like, please survive these minutes. Please survive minutes. But like, I really think in this CBA that these teams are operating in, you have to develop your depth, right? Like, it's not just a matter of like, you know, lucking out and having AJ Mitchell on a 3-year, $9 million contract. Yeah. It's not just lucking out and having Julian Champagne on a 4-year, $12 million contract, you know. If you can get those guys on those deals, then fantastic. But the reason that they have those guys on those deals is because, and this is something that, like, this is a smart thing that both of those teams did. We were like, all right, we got this guy into our system. OKC did this with Isaiah Joe too, where it's like, all right, we got this guy into our system. Aaron Wiggins also fits this mold in OKC too, where it's like, we got this guy in our system. And we are going to just hyper-focus this player's development to what we need from this player. And as part of that investment and as part of that development, we're gonna be like, all right, we believe in you. Here's a 3-year contract, so you get the security that you might be looking for at that point in your career. A lot of these guys are these, like, you know, they're trying to resuscitate their NBA dream, or they're trying to keep it alive, or they're trying to, you know, just like stay, hang on to their chances of making and staying in the NBA. And when they hear some team tell them, we are willing to give you a 3-year deal at this number, a number that is absolutely bonkers to 99% of people who make money ever, right? Like, wait, $2 million a year for the next couple of years? I was just making, you know, 250 grand playing for the South Bay Lakers or whatever it was, you know? And so, like, they basically, so they get there, or OKC gets those guys there, or San Antonio gets somebody like Champagne there, and they basically say, like, all right, here's your longer term deal, and we want you to work tirelessly with our shooting coach. We want you to work tirelessly with our trainer to, you know, get you ready to be a 3-and-D player, you know, and we're going to develop you. And by the time you get to, like, the second year, or in Champagne's case, annoyingly, the first year of this long-term deal, you are exactly the player that we need. And that's the part that the Lakers have, I think, completely bungled. And they have completely, like, that aspect of the organization, where the Lakers, they explain it away in basically saying, well, the players who thrive in our organization, they're the ones who take it upon themselves to get in the gym as frequently as they can and to turn themselves into the player that they are. And they're going to be these self-driven players who thrive as Lakers because they understand what it means to be a Laker. And it's like, okay, that's fine if you employ 15 Kobes, you know, but that's not how every player is wired. You do need to have a player development, you know, head of player development in your organization. You do need a shooting coach. You do need somebody whose job it is just to improve foot speed. You do need a guy who, you know what I mean? Like, you need a whole, you know, the cliche in raising kids is that it takes a village. That's what it takes to develop youth and talent in the NBA. It takes a whole fucking village. And that's something that, like, if the Lakers are going to catch up to where the Spurs are as an organization, and catch up to where OKC is as an organization, and where even the Knicks are as an organization, they need to completely ditch this notion that, like, if you're going to make it as a Laker, you're going to make it because you love being a Laker. Absolutely not. Dalton Kinect can't fall through the cracks. Jalen Hood-Schifino can't fall through the cracks. It's going to take you taking them by the hand and sometimes forcefully saying, nope, get in the gym. We need you to become this kind of player. This is what we envision you to be when we draft you. We are going to take you. We are going to walk you down step by step by step by step of how you're going to arrive at becoming that player. And that's something that the Lakers just historically have not done. And that's going to have to change.
And I made this point before, but I think some of these guys, the Lakers did do that work. They did the hard part. The hard part is finding the player and then developing them into an NBA player. That's actually the hardest part. That is a science that teams would pay a bajillion dollars for, but there's just no exact 100% science for that. But then you let them walk. Jordan Goodwin, yeah. I would argue, is that story. Jordan Goodwin came in,
exactly,
was in the G League.
No, that's great point too.
Didn't have a guaranteed contract. Gets signed onto a two-way, and then he not only plays on his two-way but earns an actual contract spot. Starts games for the Lakers over, I believe, Austin or Luka, whenever one of them sat, played in the playoffs, was one of these six guys JJ Redick trusted to play in the playoffs, and then he's gone to the Phoenix Suns. Alex Caruso obviously is the story that most people know. But I think what people forget is Caruso not only played on the Lakers title team. Caruso, I watched Caruso play in South Bay games. Yeah. He's on the South Bay Lakers.
When he had hair still.
Yes, actually, maybe. Okay, maybe he had a little bit of hair. But I think
he never had a ton.
No, he never had hair. No. I'm just in my mind, I've added hair to Alex Caruso. But yeah, he was playing G League games for them. Scottie Pippen Jr., right? Another guy who's kind of found himself on the Memphis Grizzlies now. But he was another guy that was killing it in the G League for the Lakers and got a few opportunities. It was not trusted by Darvin Ham, and he made sure the world knew that. But in any case, Scottie Pippen Jr. has found his place. Jay Huff is another guy, right, has found his place in the league, and I believe he's on the Pacers. So yeah, just like there's these guys that have come through and have had success. The Lakers do the hard part, find the guy, then their team comes in and steals them. Like, hey, thanks. And like they get, yeah, they, you know, they benefit from all the fruits of that labor.
We're about to see it again with Drew Timmy. I'm just telling you guys.
Yeah, Drew could be another one, right? And Drew's shown that he's an NBA player. Now again, I think the defense stuff is real with him, but in any case, like to that point, yeah, there's been a few guys. Like I remember watching Julian Champagne on the Spurs G League team, and the Spurs, if they find you, you're not going anywhere. They're locking you in.
No, yeah. But once they figure out, like, oh,
yeah, yeah,
shoot,
yes, yeah.
Here's a 4-year deal.
OKC, the same way, right? Another guy you didn't mention. They did this to Lu Dort as well. Lu Dort, who probably is out the door this offseason, but they got a lot out of Lu Dort. Lu Dort like signed, you know. They gave him a little bit of a raise, and people are like, what kind of contract is Lu Dort? You remember those conversations? It's like, Lu Dort's on a 4-year, like $6 million deal. What's going on? And then one summer, they just paid him. I think the cap jumped that year or whatever, and they've gotten a lot of good stuff out of him. Same thing now. You know, history repeats with A.J. Mitchell. It's like, A.J.'s on a what? Like, what kind? So it's that's the stuff that these good organizations do. And yeah, to your point, you don't have to find steals of this magnitude, right? Champagne and A.J. Mitchell are kind of unique in that way. You don't usually get that level of value, but I do think you need some guys on rookie contracts that have to contribute. Adu was hurt this year, and I understand that, but like again, you got to get some type of talent on these rookie deals. The Lakers kind of had those spots for more emergency use only. This summer, that's another thing I'd like to do, maybe get more in the second round or whatever. You got to do, find some young talent in the draft. I think that's the highest kind of return on investment in the league right now, with the way the contracts are, the way the second, where the aprons are, kind of hitting on those young guys is so important.
Also, like hitting on guys that other teams cast aside, right? Like the Sixers cast, you know, that I'm sorry to Trill Bro Dude, you know, and his whole podcast like community over there. But Champagne was a Sixer, right? And
oh yeah, yeah.
And they elected to let him walk so that they can employ, who's the white guy who can dunk?
On the Sixers?
The white guy who can, like, who's one dunk?
Oh, Mac McClung. Mac McClung.
Yeah. So like he was like a free agent, and they like brought him in.
Oh right.
And in order to bring in Mac McClung, they let Champagne walk. And
yes,
here we stand. And so you just being able to pounce on other teams' mistakes, and like you said, Raj, crucially identifying talent and then developing that talent and like putting a hold on that talent. That talent is not going anywhere. It's funny that while you were talking, I was thinking about, like, I've told you guys this before. When Mark Walter took over the Dodgers, initially they had Ned Colletti, and they had like a very traditionally built organization. They had Ned Colletti, who was their general manager, and then they had Don Mattingly, who was their manager. And they let those guys, like, you know, work for a little while. But then eventually they you know, move Colletti into a different spot in the organization, and now he does some work, I believe, with Spectrum Sportsnet LA. They bring in Andrew Friedman. They bring on Farhan Zaidi. I'm like in my own head, you know, like whenever I say Zaidi, because somebody told me I've been saying that wrong. So either Zaidi or Zaidi, they bring in Farhan. And then they also bring in Alex Anthopoulos, who spends a couple of years. He came from the Toronto Blue Jays, built the Toronto Blue Jays. Dodgers poach him from them. He spends a couple of years working in the Dodgers organization, works with Andrew Friedman, learns a bunch, takes what he learns to Atlanta. And Atlanta does a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about here, Raj. We're like, they develop their young talent, and then they sign these guys to, you know, crazy long-term salaries. And they basically, like, you know, and it's worked out for the most part. And the Braves have basically operated with a really high floor for the most part while Anthopoulos has been there, because it's like, it's basically the same core. And here we stand. All right. So Bashir is saying that Zadie. All right. I'm saying Zadie. And if I find out, if I get a word from the Dodgers people that it's Zaidi, Bashir, I'm coming after you. But yeah, like basically this, and this is what, especially in apron world, as Rob likes to call it, like, if you get that kind of, what kind of, Jordan Goodwin was on a partially guaranteed contract that the Lakers very easily could have. People always say, oh, they chose between Bronny and Jordan Goodwin. They didn't have to. If they would have just moved, people say that, like, it was between Marcus Smart and right. Jordan Goodwin. Yeah. Or Marcus Smart and DeAndre Ayton and Jordan Goodwin. It's like, no, if the Lakers just would have been creative enough to move off of Maxi Kleber's contract, which, by the way, they wind up letting expire anyway, then you could have had Marcus Smart and DeAndre Ayton and Bronny James and Jordan Goodwin. But because Rob Pelinka couldn't figure out the cap to that extent, you wind up letting Jordan Goodwin walk, not just anywhere, but to your own division. He was a critical part of the Phoenix Suns' great season. You had a guy, yeah, RoboCop here saying, like, if you would have just moved Dalton, somebody who was a former first-round pick, you could have, like, teams were interested in him last year, last summer. If you would have just been like, yeah, right, give us cash considerations for Dalton Connect. But no, the Lakers didn't want to consider that a lost cause and chose Dalton over Goodwin. And it's like, those are the decisions that you just cannot continue to make if you're going to get to the point where both of these teams that we're watching are at.
Yeah, and I think the regular season is for experimentation. And again, I think JJ coached a pretty, like, as well as you could with the situation he had. LeBron missed the first 15 games, right? Like, so there was stuff that he had to deal with. I would have loved to seen a little bit more. Like, Chris Mannion was killing the G League. I would have loved to seen him get a shot of, yeah, hey, there's this guy that's just running around. He's not a great shooter, but he's having pretty dominant stock numbers in the G League. Just give that a shot, see what it looks like. I think that's kind of how Jordan Goodwin made his name, got a lot of kind of defensive. He had a lot of defensive skills that he showed. He wasn't really even the go-to scorer for the South Bay team, but again, earned a spot with the big squad. But yeah, I think young guys is so important. And like, the Lakers aren't going to have they're not going to be able to have their star player on such a discount like the Spurs are, right? Or even the Knicks are. That's just not how their team is built. But man, I think this is where the league is going, where you got to hit on some of these young guys. If you were over Dalton, like, that's fine. But yeah, then he can't be on the team, right? Like, it's got to be, we are invested in Dalton's development, or, you know, he's off the team. We're trading him. You know, it's got to be one decision or another. But I'm guessing he's off the team this summer. That would be kind of my expectation. But yeah, this 25th pick, like, doesn't have to be a full rotation guy, but that guy at least should be able to play. Like, that guy should be able to at least come in and do whatever his job is for X amount. Just the regular season is so long. And I think you need just depth like that to kind of get to where you need to go. But yeah, interesting summer coming up. We'll see where the Lakers kind of go with that. But that's where I'm at with it. You got to get some young guys in, some athleticism, some juice. Marcus Smart being our best point of attack defender is just not, it's just not enough. Like, you watch these other teams hound, and just another point on the playoff stuff. these defenses, like, they're on the offense on defense. Does that make sense? Like, they, like, when they go on defense, isn't it, it isn't just, oh man, I hope, you know, I hope we survive this possession. They are in attack mode. And I think the Lakers need some of that. Like, even Jose Alvarado, when he comes in, right? Like, just that dude is a, like, ball pressure full time. And that's just stuff that I think the Lakers are missing. Now, that's kind of with the roster, that's roster conversation, but those are the culture as well. Just that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for this summer going into next season.